The first lesson for today is from the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terrors all around, denounce him, let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the sixth chapter of Romans. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that he will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life. Thanks. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
Before I read the gospel, I just have to share something that made me giggle. Peg was reading the words of the prophet Jeremiah, how he could not contain his cries of injustice, just as cries of injustice were rising up from the playground. Made me smile. Okay. The gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a servant above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the servant like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Hi, everybody. I just got back from vacation. I've been away in Colorado for a week, and I am still a little bit on vacation time, and I still have vacation brain, and I came back to this gospel. So bear with me. This gospel reading is basically a series of very difficult sayings from Jesus, all squished together. And some of them are difficult to understand. Some of them are difficult to hear, challenging. So no free pass for me this week as I come back from vacation. But before I left, I'd been looking at these texts, and one of the things that I did to try and help make sense of all of it, to make it a little more manageable, is that I read lots and lots of different translations and different commentaries. And then I tried to rewrite the text or sort of write out the meaning of the text in my own words, just verse by verse, to make it a little easier to understand. And this is what I wrote for the first five verses of our reading. Think about how Jesus was treated, how the world responded to his ministry and his teachings. If we follow him, if we truly follow him, we should expect a similar reaction. But don't be afraid, because eventually the truth will be known. Don't be afraid of bullies, of those who attack and hurt you in this life, because you are following Jesus, because they cannot destroy your soul, the core of your being. So do not be afraid, but instead trust in God, the one who has care over your whole self, mind, body, and spirit, in this life and the next. Putting these passages into my own words helped me to hear what the point of it all is, what the point of these difficult passages and how they connect to the following verses that were all about division. We all know how badly Jesus was treated. We all know how much anger his ministry evoked and how the gospel he proclaimed led to violence against him, how it led to his death. And so in those first verses, Jesus is warning his followers not to expect anything different as they continue his ministry. He's warning them not to expect a warm welcome. And this warning then connects to the longer passage on division in the world, because that's describing how the world responds to God's love. And as harsh as those verses are, I actually found a lot of hope in them. Even though it sounds ugly, right, to hear about family pitted against each other, father against son, mother against daughter, because that's not what any of us want. But Matthew was writing to a community that experienced exactly those kinds of family divisions. It's very likely that some of them had even been kicked out of their families for following Jesus. They knew all too well the risk and the pain of that kind of division. Now, we live in a time and a place where Christians are not persecuted, but we are also living in a world that is very much divided, we live in a world where our efforts to faithfully follow Jesus can lead to conflict and division, even within our families. How many of us find it difficult to speak openly with our families about caring for the environment, immigration, racial injustice, sexuality, women's rights, gender identity, caring for the poor? Many of these hot-button topics, which are very much connected to our efforts to follow Jesus, many of these and other important issues can stir up conflict and division within our own families. How many of us have experienced tense or uncomfortable Thanksgiving dinners, or heated discussions or arguments that may have even led to broken relationships? The pandemic brought a lot of this to the head in many families. But even if this sort of division doesn't exist in your family, you've likely experienced it with neighbors or colleagues, classmates or friends. We see it in the news and we read it in the headlines. Our world seems to be full of more division than ever. We know what division looks like. And we know what it feels like to be at odds. Sometimes it can be very, very discouraging. It can feel almost hopeless to hear how much hatred and anger is in the world and how resistant people are to calls for change, calls simply to care for one another and to care for the world. Which is why Jesus' words on division carry so much hope. Remember, I said I found them to be full of hope? I really do, because this difficult passage is a reminder that all of the resistance and all of the backlash and division that we are experiencing, it's not for nothing. As hard as it is, these divisions are a direct response to the kingdom of God breaking into the world. All the division and conflict means that change is happening. It means that love is speaking up and speaking out, which results in fear and hatred pushing back. That's what happens. It's painful and it is divisive, but it is a sign of something life-giving and good that is happening. It's a sign of God's kingdom breaking in, God's will for the world taking shape and challenging and threatening the status quo. Later on in Matthew's gospel, the gospel writer describes these divisions and these infightings and struggles of the world as birth pangs, which again I find to be very hope-filled and helpful. Now, childbirth imagery is emotional and very personal, and I personally hate it when cisgendered men use childbirth metaphors, but as someone who has given birth, I know the power of this metaphor. Anyone who has experienced childbirth knows labor pains can be intense and even scary at times. The pain can feel overwhelming, and the whole process is hard work. It takes strength and courage, and it can feel overwhelming. It can feel never-ending, but it is work for a purpose, work that brings new life into the world. That is how Matthew describes the work of discipleship, as difficult, sometimes even painful and scary, as a labor of love. It is not easy. And what's more, Jesus warns that it may very well make people mad at us. And that may hurt. When we proclaim and live out the good news of God's love, people may lash out. People may attack. But faithfully following Jesus has always resulted in that kind of pushback, that kind of hostility, even from loved ones. And so Jesus tells his followers that he did not come to just smooth things over, to just play nice. Jesus came to challenge and to demand change. Jesus came to demand change that aligns the world with God's will, that aligns the world with God's love. Discipleship is risky business. It's hard work. And yet in Matthew, Jesus tells his followers again and again and again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, as difficult as the work is, as painful as it may be at times, and even when it causes division. Do not be afraid, and know that you are not alone. Know that God has care of you, has hold of you, and will not let you go. Know that your God who loves you will be with you and will preserve you in and through this life, in and through this hard work. The good news is that God is bringing change into the world and will not be stopped or deterred. God is bringing change into our world and will not be stopped by bullies, by hostile resistance, or by any amount of pushback from those who fight to maintain the broken and hate-filled systems of this world. And so we need not be afraid. We need not be afraid because we are not alone. We are in this fight and we do this work together. We do this work of discipleship together and held closely in God's love, held closely in God's care, guaranteed that we will be preserved, we will be cared for, and we will be carried through even the most difficult times. We need not be afraid because we are held firmly in the hope of God's promise, held firmly in the hope and promise that this difficult and sometimes painful work will be completed. And God's kingdom, God's love will be fully realized. We need not be afraid because we trust and know that God will see us safely through all the struggles of this life into the day where God's kingdom is fully realized. Into the day when the world is fully shaped by God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.